Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, April 11th, 2017. Let's begin with today's headlines. The first headline reads, Mayoral Minute, Diane Marlin, Plan of Action, Find a Police Chief, Hire an Administrator, Provide Property Tax Relief. Urbana's mayor-to-be has a loaded to-do list. The entire Q&A can be found at newsgazette.com, but let's read this one. A shortened version written by Marcus Jackson, and this is based out of Urbana. She'll sneak in a trip to Colorado to visit her son, but there won't be much downtime in between Diane Marlin's 15-month campaign for mayor, which ended successfully 1 week ago, and her first day in office. Ahead of Monday night's city council meeting, the still alderwoman swung by the News Gazette to provide a peek into her vision for Urbana. Her vision for downtown starts with finding tenants for long, vacant lots. The key is to have people live there and work there and have a people presence 24/7. The overall goal is to fill in some of the blanks. Downtown isn't the only commercial area I wanted to focus on. Philo Road is another vital corridor that we sometimes don't talk about enough. That's also very important to the neighborhoods on the east side of town. To be clear, the city does not own Lincoln Square, but a mayor can still dream. I'd like to see it developed into housing. There's excellent office space there now, so the goal would be to refill that office space. Throughout the campaign, a lot of people told me they would like more activities for families, so the idea of the Children's Museum that's about to open there is a great idea. It could be meeting space. Priority number one, find a city administrator. We've been without professional administration for 10 years, and there's a lot of rebuilding that has to go on within the city. Really, we can't talk about revitalizing the city until the foundation is strong. First job is to rebuild the foundation. That means looking at policies and procedures. We don't have a strategic plan. So you can see or listen to Diane Marlin on the radio. She visits the morning show at 7:40 a.m. today. We missed that. Hopefully you caught it. It was on WDWS 1400 a.m. And on video, the mayor-elect chats with Marcus Jackson at newsgazette.com. The next headline reads, Champaign County Nursing Home, Nonprofit Option on the Table. This article is written by Tom Kachik and is based out of Urbana. Two members of the Champaign County Nursing Home Advisory Board hope to meet with representatives of local health care providers to gauge if there is interest in establishing a not-for-profit corporation to take over the operation of the financially troubled nursing home. The county's voters last week defeated a property tax increase proposal for the home and authorized the county board to sell or dispose of the facility. Meanwhile, County Auditor John Farney said Monday night that the institution probably will be unable to make payroll this week because of a cash shortage. There's $165,000 in the nursing home's bank account right now, and they have to have at least $240,000 by the close of business today to make payroll, and I don't anticipate they'll do that, Farney said. In addition, that means they won't be able to do any accounts payable this week. If the nursing home is unable to make payroll this week, it probably will have to tap a loan offered last month by the county board or cash advance offered by the county treasurer. They'll have to let County Administrator Rick Snyder know that they have to access the, for lack of a better word, credit line that the county board authorized last month, Farney said. In a report Farney prepared last week for the county board, he said the nursing home's accounts payable totaled about $2.8 million, including nearly $1 million already owed to the county government. On the other side of the ledger, nursing home manager Scott Gima said the facility isn't being reimbursed by the state for about 30 residents, including 19 reimbursements that have been approved by state officials. That results in a shortfall of $100,000 to $125 a month, he said. Nursing home board chair Jack Anderson and former chair Kathy Emanuel plan to meet with local health care providers, including the Carle Foundation, Christie Clinic, and Provena Covenant, to measure interest in creating a not-for-profit corporation, to take over the nursing home. Before doing so, said former County Administrator Deb Busey, a member of the nursing home board, the state's attorney's office should review the options available to the county and the not-for-profit. I think we need to know and understand. If we're going to Carle, what are we asking them to do? And I don't think we know that until we know what we legally can get into, she said. Snyder said he didn't believe the county could have a role in the not-for-profit's membership. The way the statutes are written and the limits on our authority, I think it would be very difficult to pursue a public-private partnership of that type right now, he said. Board member Josh Hartke, H-A-R-T-K-E, who also is a member of the county board, said he was pessimistic a not-for-profit would work. I'm all for us exploring every option, don't get me wrong here, but I think it's extraordinarily hard for me to believe that we're going to find a not-for-profit that is going to pay us $12 million for that building and take it over and do what the current nursing home does, said Hartke, a Champaign Democrat. If this is a pipe dream, and I'm concerned that it is, we need to start addressing things as a board and how we're going to deal with it without that, because I don't really think it's going to happen. Nursing home board members were told Monday night that the closure of one of the home's five residential units is nearly complete. Last month, when the nursing home board discussed the idea, the home census was 166. On Monday, GEMA said it was 147. The facility has 243 certified beds. GEMA said the consolidation into four residential units would save about $10,000 a month and improve equality because no employees are being laid off. In addition to the two county board members who were on the nursing home board, seven other county board members, Democrats C. Pius Weibel, Matt Heiser, Patsy Petrie, and Kyle Patterson, and Republicans Diane Michaels, Aaron Esri, and John Rector, attended the meeting. The nine board members make up almost half of the full county board membership of 22. The next headline reads, Court Report. Man who fired gun outside mall gets probation. This article is written by Mary Shank and is based out of Urbana. A Champaign man who admitted he fired a gun outside a strip mall in Champaign last fall has been sentenced to 30 months of probation that will allow him to get help for his drug use. Kevin B. Cooper, Jr., 26, whose last known address was in the 900 block of Kara Drive, that's K-A-R-A Drive, received the sentence from Judge Roger Weber on Monday. Cooper had pleaded guilty last month to reckless discharge of a firearm, admitting that on October 29th, he fired a gun outside a strip mall in the 700 block of North Neal Street. No one was hurt, police said, even though several shots were fired. Cooper was also ordered to serve 106 days in the county jail, with credit for time already served, and perform 200 hours of public service. The next headline reads, State Farm Center, Plum Assignment, Show Security. Area police officers asked to work overtime at events from Ebertfest to Garth Brooks. This article is written by Mary Shank and is based out of Champaign. Tracy Wagner couldn't believe his good fortune. He's getting paid to watch Garth Brooks. The senior patrol deputy for the Champaign County Sheriff's Office jumped at the chance to work overtime to see the iconic country star later this month. I'm just thrilled, said Wagner, a patrol deputy for 27 years who did not see Brooks at the Assembly Hall in 1997. But this time around, he has a wife and three children who also want to watch the star while he's working. Suddenly, Casey and Morgan, 15-year-old twin daughters, are researching his song, said Wagner, who will help with traffic outside State Farm Center, as well as man a post inside for one of Brooks' four concerts the weekend of April 28th through 30th. Wagner is one of scores of area police officers being asked to help out with security for the full plate of special events on tap in Champaign-Urbana this spring, ranging from music to films to runners to graduation. While many of the events are at State Farm Center, this week alone brings Lil Wayne on Thursday and WWE Live Saturday. There's also Ebertfest in downtown Champaign and the Christie Clinic Illinois Marathon, which winds its way through both Champaign and Urbana. Almost always, security for special events is supplied by officers who voluntarily sign up for overtime. When we do special events, very rarely is it with resources on shift, said Champaign Deputy Police Chief John Swenson, who observed there has been a proliferation of special events in the 28 years he has been a police officer. Yes, staffing has grown, but the demand for public safety has grown, Swenson said. University of Illinois Police Chief Matt Myrick, M-Y-R-I-C-K, said in the recent past, his department decided to reach out to other area departments for help at special events besides football, which he said has always been a collaborative security effort. 2 or 3 years ago, we started incorporating Urbana and Champaign to work basketball games to relieve the burden on our people getting so much overtime and mandatory time. This year, we added the sheriff's office, he said. It's nice to draw the extra manpower from local departments. They enjoy the opportunity, and we enjoy having them, Myrick said. 16 hours on, 8 off. All police departments have rules about how many hours an officer can work. Unless it's an emergency, that's 16 on and 8 hours off before a return to duty. Each department negotiates its own annual contract with the U of I for what officers will be paid for their service at U of I events. There's usually not a problem filling the special events slots. Right now, our overtime board is chock full of Garth Brooks and Illinois Marathon, said Lieutenant Bryant Serafin of the Urbana Police Department. It appears that the slots are getting filled. The Marathon Committee pays for the police services provided by area departments on marathon weekends slated for April 20th through 22nd. At Urbana, sign-up for overtime goes by seniority of who is at the board when the sign-up sheet is posted after officers have had notice, assuming there is much advance notice, Serafin said. There are sign-ups for things that are routine, like football and basketball. Other things pop up on real short notice, like NIT games, he said. Generally, we always try to work together. Really big operations like Bernie Sanders are an example, he said, of the presidential hopeful's quickly organized one-day visit to the U of I campus last March before the primary. U of I, business as usual. Myrick is usually the person to figure out how much police help is needed for a U of I event. We work in tandem with whoever's asking us to provide security. State Farm Center has their own security. We are there to do traffic and backup. Their staff has the primary security role, and we are the law enforcement backup. It can get a little confusing, he said. For instance, it's State Farm Center security staffers who decide what kind of screening happens at the door. Electronic wands were first employed for fans at the February 23rd Florida-Georgia Line concert, one in a series of major acts booked since the renovations were completed last fall. We look at the estimated crowd size, plus do a little research on the act. If there's a need to, we reach out to other venues and say, how did it go? Did you have issues? Myrick said. State Farm Center has done a great job to rededicate the building and have a spectacular spring season. While we may be getting a few more acts this spring, it's no different for us. We've been doing these events for years. Elvis, Garth, who did 3 shows 20 years ago. It's just another day at the office, you could say, Myrick said. The next headline reads, Chicago, judge shot to death outside his home. This article is written by the Associated Press and is based out of Chicago. A judge who oversaw criminal cases in Cook County, Illinois, was shot to death early Monday outside his Chicago home, and a woman he knew was shot and wounded, police said. Investigators are looking at the possibility that the shooting of Associate Circuit Court Judge Raymond Miles, that's M-Y-L-E-S, and the acquaintance could have been part of an attempted robbery, although police don't believe anything was stolen from the victims or the house. Chicago Police Spokesman Anthony Guglielmi, that's G-U-G-L-I-E-L-M-I, said Miles also may have been targeted for one reason or another, quote-unquote. The offender shot him numerous times, he said. No arrests have been made in the shootings that happened about 5 a.m. on Chicago's south side. Miles was pronounced dead at the hospital. Since the woman was shot is a witness to a killing, her name is not expected to be released, Guglielmi said. Chief of Detectives Melissa Staples described the woman as a close associate of Miles and said she was shot once and is expected to survive. The woman was shot first. Miles heard a commotion and a gunshot exchanged words with the attacker, and then there was shot himself, Staples said. Police Deputy Superintendent Kevin Navarro called the shooting a senseless act of violence. Miles received his law degree from the University of Illinois College of Law. He was appointed to the court in 1999. Circuit court judges appointed him an associate judge in 2001, and he had served in the criminal division since 2009. Now let's take a quick look at our weather in the next few days. On the weather front, this is provided to us by Greg Soulge, S-O-U-L-J-E, for the News Gazette. Today, the temperature will be 63, mostly sunny and gusty, overnight clear. Wednesday, the high is 68, the low is 40. It will be sunny, overnight, increasing clouds. Thursday, the high is 69, the low is 49. Considerable cloudiness, a shower and thunderstorm in spots early and late. Friday, the high is 73, the low is 51. It will be partly sunny, a couple of showers and thunderstorms in spots early and late in the day. And Saturday, the high will be 79, the low will be 59. It will be partly cloudy and breezy. And now, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of editor Jim Rosso. Tracy Crane was a logical pick to quarterback our revamped outdoors coverage. She's heavy into backpacking and mountain biking, and in early May she will try her hand at turkey hunting. I've been told there's a good chance I won't be successful my first time out, said Crane, equipped with a bow, arrow, and license for her May 4th debut near Bismarck. we introduced Crane's column, The Great Outdoors, in March. It's been so well received that starting this week, we're shifting it from Wednesdays to Sundays. That will allow Crane, there's a picture of her at the Grand Canyon above, to delve deeper, in the paper, to delve deeper into topics she clearly enjoys. I'd move my desk outdoors if I could, she said. To submit news and pictures for The Great Outdoors, contact Crane, Tracy Crane, that's T-R-A-C-Y, Crane, C-R-A-N-E, at, here's the phone number, 217-443-8946, or via email. She could be reached at tcrane, T-C-R-A-N-E, at newsgazette.com. And now, about our online audience. What was trending last week at newsgazette.com, which in a 7-day period ending Sunday saw 1,404,892 page views? The three top stories. 1. Hashtag Live Like Luke, A Mother's Tale. 2. Ex-U of I student gets 10 years in death of newborn. And 3. Savoy man accused of drugging, sexually assaulting party attendee. The three top sports stories. 1. Tillman requests release from Illinois. 2. Tillman again, I'm staying home. And 3. Pickett requests release from Illini. The three top videos. 1. Kachik, Election 17 Takeaways. 2. Cubby Conversation, April 3rd, 2017. And 3. Game of the Week, Urbana 5-Team Co-Ed Track Meet. And the three top photo galleries, 1. From the Archives, Illinois Basketball. 2. Election Coverage, April 2017. And 3. 2017 Faces of Spring Softball. Here's some area history. In 1917, a Lutheran conference attended by ministers and teachers in the Champaign-Danville district closed on Wednesday with passage of a resolution supporting the U.S. government in international affairs. The conference went on record in order to show the loyalty of Germans, who comprise a large part of the membership of the church. In 1967, noting that a recent Newsweek story said that University of Illinois security officer Tom Morgan keeps extensive files on student leftists, the Student Committee on Academic Freedom and Tenure passed a resolution asking U of I President David D. Henry to report in writing whether any university office keeps records or files on political activity by students. And in 2002, the recession that has left state finances in disarray is beginning to filter down to Champaign County government. Deb Busey, county co-administrator, said that if current trends continue, the county budget could be $557,000 out of balance by November 30th. And in international history, today's highlights. On April 11, 1947, Jackie Robinson of the Brooklyn Dodgers played in an exhibition against the New York Yankees at Ebbets Field 4 days before his regular season debut that broke baseball's color line. The Dodgers won 14-6. Monsieur Verdot, Charlie Chaplin's dark comedy about a Bluebeard-like figure, received a hostile reception at its premiere. The next headline reads, Rantoul, residents escape fire, cat not so lucky. This article is written by Dave Hinton and is based out of Rantoul. Fire caused an estimated $70,000 worth of damage to a Rantoul home early Monday morning. Firefighters were dispatched at 2:39 a.m. to 1418 Fairway Drive following a report of a house fire with smoke and flames showing. When we arrived, there was heavy smoke showing and flames showing from the southwest bedroom windows, said Fire Chief Ken Waters. The occupants escaped the home safely, and several animals, including two ferrets, were saved, Waters said, but a cat perished. Waters said the blaze caused an estimated $50,000 worth of damage to the structure and $20,000 worth of damage to the contents. The other side of the home was not occupied. Firefighters cleared the scene at 4:20 a.m. The tenant of the property, which is owned by Tonya, T-O-N-I-A, Alexander, is Mycarlo Gunn. 22 Rantoul firefighters responded to the call with two engines, one rescue unit, and one ladder truck. The Thomasboro and Gifford Fire Departments responded via mutual aid with one engine each and manpower. The next headline reads, Arrest, Suspect in Robbery, Beating, Arrested. This article is written by Mary Shank and is based out of Urbana. A Champaign man who allegedly took part in robbing and beating a man in an apartment late last year has been arrested. Roland, R-O-L-A-N, Jones, 19, who listed an address in the 200 block of Brookwood Drive, was arrested over the weekend on a warrant that had been issued in January charging him with armed robbery and aggravated battery. The charges stem from an incident that allegedly occurred December 8th at an apartment in the 1500 block of Kyler Drive, K-I-L-E-R Drive. Jones's co-defendant, Larome, L-A-R-O-M-E, R. Anderson, 20, admitted during a guilty plea last month that he invited the victim to his apartment, and they got into an argument over the 19-year-old victim selling cannabis. The victim was hit in the eye with a hammer and fists, and his wallet was taken from him, a police report said. Anderson pleaded guilty to aggravated battery for his role in the incident and is now serving a sentence of 2 years of probation. Jones is being held in lieu of $30,000 in bond, while he awaits an April 28th probable cause hearing. If convicted of the more serious armed robbery charge, Jones faces 6 to 30 years in prison. The next headline reads, Champaign Schools, talks with project firms underway. This article is written by Nicole LaFon and is based out of Champaign. Unit 4 is entering into negotiations with 7 familiar firms that will complete the work on all of the projects funded through the $183.4 million referendum, except the athletic fields at Spalding Park. Since that land is owned by the Champaign Park District, administrators with Unit 4 and the parks are working on an intergovernmental agreement that would allow the school district to pay to redevelop and build on that park district-owned land. Once that agreement is signed, the Park District will be heavily and equally involved in the entire search process for architects and construction managers, Board President Chris Klappel said. He said the district does not yet have a timeline on when that agreement will be completed, paving the way for the district to move forward with plans to build a baseball diamond, tennis courts, and a storage and concession space at Spalding. For work on the rest of the referendum-funded projects, Unit 4 received responses from 14 architectural firms and 7 construction management companies. Nearly all of the chosen firms have worked on projects for Unit 4 in the past, Klappel said. They are Ratio Architects, Architectural Services for Edison Middle School and Dr. Howard Elementary. Boren, that's B-R-O-E-R-E-N, Russo. Boren, Russo, and Midwest Construction Professionals, Construction Management for Edison Southside Elementary and International Prep Academy, O'Shea Builders, Construction Management for Central and Centennial High Schools, Perkins and Will and IGW Architecture, Architectural Services for Central, Centennial, and McKinley Field, BLDD Architecture, Architectural Services, Southside, and IPA. The board gave the administration the green light to begin negotiating contracts with the 7 firms by nearly unanimous votes. Lynn Stuckey, on her last night serving on the board, voted against the agreement with Perkins and Will and IGW. New Westview Principal. The board also hired a longtime Freeport School District Administrator as principal of Westview Elementary for the 2017-2018 school year. Nick Swords, that's S-W-O-R-D-S, Nick Swords, served 8 years as assistant principal and 7 as principal of Freeport Middle School. He has a bachelor's degree in social sciences from Illinois State and a master's in general administration from Chicago State. The next headline reads, Murder Trial, 10 Years for Father in Shooting. This article is written by Mary Shank and is based out of Urbana. A 67-year-old Urbana man who fatally shot his son in the unreasonable belief that he was defending himself has been sentenced to 10 years in prison. Acknowledging that David Farrell, that's David and then last name Farrell, F-A-R-R-E-L-L, had led a mostly law-abiding life, Judge Roger Weber said Monday that if left to his own devices, Farrell would likely resume the abusive drinking that led to him killing Matthew Farrell, 29, outside the family home in the 700 block of East Oregon Street on June 12, 2016. The elder Farrell pleaded guilty in February to second-degree murder, admitting that he shot his son, believing he was justified in the use of deadly force, but that his belief was unreasonable. I cannot imagine living with knowing you killed your own son, Weber said. Weber recounted that about 3 hours before the fatal shooting, father and son, both of whom had been drinking, got into a heated verbal argument that turned physical. Around 11:20 p.m., a neighbor saw the elder Farrell on the ground in the fetal position and heard him yelling, "Help and stop, you are hurting me." The victim was yelling at him that he was pathetic, Assistant State's Attorney Scott Larson said at the time of the plea. The elder Farrell called 911, but Matthew Farrell left before Urbana police arrived. He returned around 2:30 a.m. and was shot once in the chest. None of us will ever know if Matthew was going back to continue the fight or to apologize, Weber said. Farrell told the judge he didn't know how he could have done what he did. There is no question I made a great error, said Farrell, acknowledging that his alcoholism played a role in these difficulties. It's beyond me. I was out of my mind. I sure regret it, and I'm sure sorry. A psychiatrist who evaluated Farrell not long after his arrest found him fit to stand trial. Stilted family dynamics. His sentence came after emotional testimony from Farrell's daughter, Nadine, Dee Dee Farrell, 35, who read for 38 minutes a statement she had prepared for the judge. The 14-page missive detailed the history of the stilted family dynamics and the effects of her father's severe alcoholism on her and her late brother. She described how her father's descent worsened after the death of his wife to brain cancer in September of 2015. Dee Dee Farrell, who lives in Seattle, described finding herself in the role of remote peacemaker between her father and her brother, who continued to live together in the family home. While not recommending a sentence for her father, she made clear that he had not only ended her brother's life, but destroyed hers, and that she was seeking justice on behalf of the brother she was unable to protect. I cannot discount the suffering my father has experienced in his life. If there is one thing I have learned from this, it is that hurt people do, in fact, hurt people, she said. Questioned further by Larson, Dee Dee Farrell said her father was a problem drinker her entire life and that he tried more than once to get professional help and to stop drinking on his own. She was aware that he used cannabis along with his prescription drugs and said she knew he drank alcohol while driving. She described his neglect of the family dog and the house after her mother's death. While cleaning the house after her father's arrest, she said she found 222 knives, daggers, and swords, 5 bows, and a rifle. Prior to her brother's death, Dee Dee Farrell said she removed a gun case from the house out of concern her father would harm himself. He later sent her taunting emails saying he had removed the gun from the case. She said he also sent her about 15 letters from jail seeking money and help and telling her that she would regret speaking out against him. She described feeling paralyzed over decisions big and small in her own life due to the uncertainty of what will happen to her father. I'm the only person left to deal with him. He becomes my problem. His sentence is my sentence, she said. Larson, 20 years, sought. Larson sought the maximum prison term for Farrell, whom he described as incapable of managing his addiction and someone likely to reoffend. Matt Farrell was a positive force in this community, Larson said, of the graphic designer who had recently tried to get his own business going. At a time when he should have been looking forward to all the things life had to offer, he spent his life taking care of his father. The grim facts of this case warrant 20 years, Larson argued. Assistant Public Defender George Vargas sought a community-based sentence that would enable Farrell to get help for his alcoholism or, in the alternative, a sentence closer to the minimum prison term of 4 years. My client has shown remorse, he said, adding there was no societal interest in incarcerating him. Weber noted that Farrell's only convictions were for possession of cannabis 35 and 20 years ago. He also noted that Farrell was recently diagnosed with bladder cancer. He called it concerning that Farrell had called his daughter after the initial encounter with his son and threatened that he would shoot him. That really undercuts the belief of him acting in self-defense, the judge said. With maximum credit for good time, Farrell will be eligible for parole in 5 years. He was given credit on his sentence for 303 days already served in jail. The next headline reads, Champaign-Urbana Schools, Teacher of Year Submissions Needed. This article is based out of Urbana and is written by Nicole LaFond. As part of its first Teacher of the Year Award program, Napleton Auto Park has asked Champaign and Urbana students to help nominate educators who deserve recognition. Through April 20th, students can go to napletonautopark.com and submit an essay, poem, or letter describing a teacher who has influenced their lives. Each winner will receive a $1,000 gift. We've had a few submissions so far, and it's really cute stuff, Napleton Executive Manager Jim Kroll said. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been the reading of Part 1 of the News Gazette, dated for this date Tuesday, April 11th, 2017. We will resume shortly with Part 2 of the News Gazette. We thank you very much for listening, and we hope you have a wonderful day.